What's up, guys? So if you've been keeping up with me lately, you know I broke my foot recently. And, you know, I like to look at the bright side of things, and one of the main upsides of breaking my foot is that I've had a lot of time to just sit. And during that sitting, I recorded a lot of podcasts. So I'm going to call this part of the Broken Foot series. And in today's episode, I interviewed Kelly Davis, who's a strength coach, an entrepreneur, and a women's health specialist. She's basically a fitness rock star. She went from being a teacher to working with Brett Contreras and Tony Gentilcore, really big names in the industry, and she herself has a wealth of knowledge. So in today's episode, we talked about things that are wrong in the health and fitness industry, you know, starting your journey and, you know, what that looks like to invest in yourself as opposed to looking at health as a cost. And also we talked about women's health, which is very overlooked. So even if you're not a woman, this episode has a lot of great nuggets, very applicable. I learned a lot. I was inspired. So please stick around, stay tuned, and enjoy.
First interview, it took forever just to set it up, and I was like, yeah, I hadn't used it in forever, so
I know.
Thank you for coming on.
It's raining, and taking the time. What do I do?
Awesome.
Yeah, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good, just busy. I ramped up my writing business again, so I'm trying to shift more towards business writing versus fitness.
Okay.
And it's taken off, which is awesome. But now I'm like, oh, now I have 100 things to do every day.
Right. What does that entail?
So I do copywriting and then content marketing as well. So I just book clients, and it depends on what they want. Email marketing, sales pages, article marketing, Facebook ads.
Okay.
So that's really my jam. That's what I love.
That's super cool. Yeah, I see. I checked out your website, and you have like all tons of like cool sales funnels and like all the different programs and stuff like that.
Thanks.
Do you do those all yourself?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to have to hit you up after this.
Right?
Yeah.
Help me. All the things everyone hates doing.
Yeah. Well, so for everyone that's listening in, you know, I met you at a fitness business conference. It was a Rise conference in San Jose this past year. And, you know, I was really blown away. Like, I didn't know anything about you, but, you know, I was really blown away by your speech. It was really inspirational. But for those of you who don't know you, can you give us a little bit about your specialty and like a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I primarily work with women, and I design and implement online strength-based programs to really help women get comfortable in the gym. So I have programs that are basic beginner body weight programs, bands and body weights, all the way up to more intermediate. I don't really do advanced programs for women that are comfortable with the barbell. They've been lifting for a while, and they're just looking for more of a strategic plan to help them improve their strength, but also improve their mobility, their balance, their flexibility, help stave off some of the effects of aging, because women, we start losing muscle a lot sooner in life than men. So I really work a lot of those components. We work on mindset. I also do nutrition coaching and many other things. So my site is fitthriveworkouts.com. I'm the co-author of the women's strength training book, Strong Curves. And I also do business consulting and collaborative projects as well inside the fitness space.
That's super cool. I mean, you're superwoman, right? Because you also have kids too, right?
Yeah. I'm just an everyday woman who's like hyper driven. So, but yeah, I have two teenagers. They're super easygoing. So
That's super cool. So, you know, how did you get started in all this?
Oh, goodness. Really, like, my origin story began when I was a teacher. I used to teach English in middle school, and my kids were little, and I went through that typical thing that a lot of moms and parents go through when you start your career, you start building a household, you have a family, and all of a sudden your needs get put on the back burner because you're just constantly putting everyone else's needs in front of your own. And I just remember it was like this pivotal moment where my classroom was upstairs, and I just had a short break between classes. So I ran downstairs to the copy room, made copies for my next several classes, ran back upstairs, and I was totally winded. And I was like 28, 29 years old. And I was, you know, I was like, this isn't it. Like there's no such thing as a mom bod. I'm not stuck with this body forever. You know, so many women experience a lot of things that are shrouded in shame that we don't talk about, such as like urinary incontinence, you know, pelvic organ prolapse. I didn't have that, but I did have urine leakage. I was out of shape. I didn't feel good. I had low self-esteem. I was low energy. I would get winded easily. And I was like, you know, this isn't your destiny. This isn't what it means to be a mom. So I signed up for the local YMCA and I hopped in my car one day and I said, I'm just going to show up. And that was my only goal. And that was like 10 years ago. But along the way, I got into figure bodybuilding pretty soon after that. I ramped up those goals pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Arizona, and that's when I met Brett Contreras, who became my coach. And all along this time, I was just like a mommy blogger. I had a blog called Mother Fitness, where I would write about my journey and sort of teach women, like, you can't, these things are easy to implement. It doesn't have to be hard. And Brett and I collaborated on the book that got picked up by a publisher. And that's really like the advent of my profession. So it wasn't like a lifelong goal to be a personal trainer. I was just, I'm an opportunist, I guess. And I fell on this opportunity and, you know, it landed in my lap. We ran with it. We had no idea that it was going to be wildly successful. And then he and I partnered on our first online business together. Then we branched off and both created separate businesses. But, my first online business was in 2013. And then I rolled out Fit Thrive in 2016. And, okay. You know, I've been running that by myself ever since.
Wow, that's awesome. That's super cool. You know, knowing Brett Contreras, the glute guy, and just how really, you know, you weren't really a fitness enthusiast to start. You know, you kind of just decided to, I don't know, you had some spark, some kind of, you know, realization that you really wanted a change for your life. And I train a lot of female clients as well. So I think it's really inspiring that someone can really take that to the next level. And someone like you is a specialist in that area, because a lot of those things that you mentioned, you know, like pelvic floor dysfunction and urinary incontinence, you know, they're not very talked about. So it's awesome that they have someone like you, you know, in their corner that's bringing those things to light.
Most women are told, you know, by their physician, first off, we're never talked to about these things during pregnancy or pregnancy planning. You know, if you're talking to your doctor and planning to get pregnant, these conversations never come up. They never come up after you give birth. There's no assessment or any post-birth care that talks about these things. And then a lot of women end up waiting to the point where they feel surgery is their only option. And they're sort of pushed in that direction. And a lot of times surgery doesn't fix the issue. Women develop other issues. You know, and it's all very fixable, but they're not conversations that were ever had. And it's sort of shrouded in shame and things we don't talk about and things we sort of laugh off, like, oh, I'm just going to pee my pants for the rest of my life. Or, you know, it's just, so it's really important. I have a lot of colleagues who advocate for this type of work as well, because it should be brought to the forefront. And we shouldn't feel like our bodies are broken after we have children.
Yeah. When was that first like realization for you that more than just fitness, like you wanted to really regain your health? Because sometimes, you know, fitness can go into that unhealthy range as well. So, that, you know, it's kind of trying to find that balance. But for you, you know, as a mom and as a female, when did you really take on that new role and like really trying to bring those things to light?
Oh, it took me the longest time. I don't want to make it sound like I had it all figured out right away. Honestly, like in the beginning, it was just, you know, I was a subscriber to Oxygen magazine, and I would see, they always had a section. I haven't read the magazine in years, but they always had a section in the back, and it highlighted moms who were fitness models or just, you know, very fit in the fitness industry somehow. And they would always have like cute pictures with their kids and stuff. And I'm like, they're not like this special breed of human that only they can do this. Right. Like, it's possible for other people as well. But in the beginning, it was just all about aesthetics. I wanted to look like those women, and I ran my body down. I underate, I over, you know, over-exercised. I was super stressed out all the time, just constantly worried, constantly looking in the mirror, taking my measurements for the longest time. And then I just realized that I wasn't any healthier. I was just smaller. Right. You know, like the first time I got onto the bodybuilding stage, it was, I was the same person. I was just 25 pounds lighter. So I realized like I really needed that mental check-in, and, it's more about mindset and like nurturing your, that mental health component that we also don't talk about enough in fitness. Because your body's only going to respond to the type of stress you're creating for it. So if you're right. turning exercise and eating and all these quote unquote healthy habits into really stressful events in your life, your body's going to respond to that stress, not respond to whatever nutrition or fitness protocol that you have. So yeah, things really started to flip for me, honestly. I'd say like three and a half years ago, because I was constantly injured. I was powerlifting. I was, you know, on the verge of divorce. I had a lot of stress going on in my life, and I just looked and felt really unhealthy. And it made me realize like, it's not about the exercise. It's not about the food. It's about, it really is about the lifestyle that you create for yourself. And one of my favorites, things that I like to tell people is it's not the hour that you spend in the gym. It's the other 23 hours in your day and how you choose to invest that time. So I think it was really, I don't like to say rock bottom. You know, it was just a difficult transition. My business partnership was ending. My marriage was ending. I was going through a lot of health implications just from like beating up my body in the gym all the time. And I realized like, this is not what I wanted my life to look like. And I had to approach everything holistically versus just sort of checking the boxes. Okay, I did my workout today. Okay, I tracked my macros today, because that's just such a tiny piece of the puzzle.
Right. That's so cool. You know, a lot of people hit that rock bottom before they really know that they have to change, right? We, you know, I have plenty of clients who, you know, they had, you know, deaths in the family and just really let themselves go, or, you know, have some type of injury and they just kind of, you know, shy away from the gym for forever until, you know, we go to the doctor and they're like, oh, you have high cholesterol or you're pre-diabetic or whatever it may be. But what was that first step for you? You know, hitting all those kind of obstacles and saying, all right, this is, I need a change. This is the first step.
Yeah. So I went through sort of that roller coaster that a lot of people go through where, I didn't necessarily gain a lot of weight. I just looked unhealthy from, I weighed the same that I do now. But you know, you like when you're really stressed out, your body just looks different. I looked old. I looked heavier than I actually was. And then like, you know, just going through the process of my business transitioning and, you know, my marriage ending, I lost 20 pounds and I was just like rail thin. So I saw what stress was doing to my body. And, you know, I realized all the other implications that were going on in my life because of the stress factor. And I was trying to control things that, you know, weren't meant to be controlled. Right. So you sort of shift those control variables and you're like, okay, these are the things that I can control. We're going to stop trying to control everything that I can't control. And the things that I can control is how I feel about what's going on in my life and, you know, how I respond to it and also how I decide to treat my body. So is being so stressed out that I can't eat or sleep, you know, is that taking the best care of myself, or can I put that stress aside because there's really not a lot I can do about it and focus on, you know, eating enough and getting enough sleep so that my body can sustain enough energy. So yeah, it was, I can't even pinpoint like exactly what it was, probably just, small incremental steps, a lot of missteps, a lot of back steps along the way. But the thing is, the thing that I learned is you really have to honor the work that you're doing. And I think so many people don't do that. They tend to beat themselves up because they have this end finish line goal and they're not there, rather than looking at like, what habits have I reformed? What have I changed about my life? And those little micro moments along the way are really what build that momentum and perpetuate sustainable change versus, you know, having that big, like 90-day transformation. Like, you don't really learn anything in that. We look better, but we didn't learn anything. So taking those micro moments along the way, those little lessons, those habit changes, and really honoring them and like celebrating them is what creates the long-term sustainable plan.
That's so cool. I just did an interview recently that really kind of touched on what you talked about, and, you know, honoring those small moments and, you know, just really loving your process. So, you know, from what I understood, you know, it's really about that mindset change. It sounds like that's what really helped you along in your process, and knowing that, hey, you know, you can be shredded, you can have a six pack. That doesn't mean you're necessarily healthy. And, you know, one thing that I preach a lot is that you can't always control your environment. You can't control those around you, but you can always control, you know, your effort, your intentions, and what you do, what you choose to do in that moment. So that's really awesome that, you know, you made that shift and really wanted to make that change. Going off of that, I mean, I look at you and I check your page and, you know, I see, oh man, she's awesome. She has all these products. How do you manage all that? Because I know behind the scenes, it's hectic. It's crazy. You got kids and you got to do your own fitness. You got to keep everything in check. How do you find that balance? So for any of those, anyone listening who, you know, busy mom, working parent, they feel like they can't get in the gym. They don't have enough time. I mean, you did it. You came from, you know, a teacher into a superstar fitness expert. What are some tips that you use to just really handle all that?
Yeah. My biggest advice is like, take ownership of it and really buy into the process and make it your own. Everybody has this idea that they have to fit into a specific mold, but fitness is really about, the enjoyment of movement, and that looks different for everyone. So it might not necessarily look like weightlifting or gym workouts to a listener like it does for you and me, but perhaps like they really love the art of dance or Pilates, or you know, they're really into swimming or whatever it is. Whatever gets you off the couch and motivates you and gets you moving, that's where you should start. And you might fall in love with other things along the way. I know, you know, you and I have started somewhere, and then along the process, right, we fell in love with other methods of movement. So that's really key. And then just realizing like, it doesn't have to look a certain way, and it doesn't have to last a certain length of time. So many people are like, oh, I don't have an hour a day to work out. Well, good. Do you have 5 minutes? Do you have 10 minutes? Can you get up in the morning and, you know, go for a 10-minute walk before work? Can you pop in, or I'm sorry, we don't have DVDs anymore. Can you turn on a 15-minute workout on YouTube after work and just work out in your living room? You know, can you hit up a friend and go for a weekend hike? It doesn't have to look a certain way. And I feel like we're all compelled toward that notion because that's what we see in the magazines. That's what we see on social media. That's what they talk about ad nauseum on the news and the morning shows. And, you know, it's, I like to teach that exercise is a luxury, but movement is essential. So, you know, exercise has really become a term that we use the more and more sedentary we become. Luxury to have a gym membership. It's a luxury, you know, to participate in a triathlon or whatever. Like, that's when I have free time to do these things. But movement is setting you up for the rest of your life. It's really about, can I get up and down off the toilet when I'm old? Am I going to fall in the shower? Can I get up and downstairs? Will I be able to play with my grandkids? So all these things that we don't really like to think about, but that's really what we're working towards. And the more sedentary we become and the less healthy we become, the harder our lives are going to be when we get older. And you know, that's not the sexy side of fitness. The sexy side is being trim and having the abs and looking the part, and which is all good, right? We all want to look a certain way. We all want to feel comfortable in our own skin. But it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that external shell that we put around fitness, because we're talking about our lives here. you know, so for anyone listening and you're really struggling just to fit in fitness or to find that thing that you want to do, as soon as that thought comes into your head, just get up and move. That's like the best thing. That's the easiest way to change your mindset. Because as soon as you start doing that, like you actually change the chemical processes in your brain, and your brain starts sending different chemical signals into the body. So if you're sitting on the couch and you're deciding, am I going to just have, you know, a glass of beer and like watch my shows, or should I go for a walk? Like just instantly, like don't even think about it, go for a walk. It'll change your mood. It'll change your mindset. You'll start expressing like happier chemicals in your body. And then, you know, that ball will start to get rolling because you realize I feel better when I go for the walk than if I have like two or three beers, right? So it's just a matter of like hitting that reset button instantaneously and not overthinking it.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, I believe, you know, humans evolved to move, right? Like all our mechanisms in our body were made so that we could, you know, jump and run and climb. And, you know, we don't all have that ability. Like I can't do a backflip, but the fact that the human body can do that, you know, says a lot. And, you know, I think, you know, I have kind of a love hate relationship with the gym. You know, I train really hard and I have, you know, structured programs because I have set goals, right? I want to run faster or jump higher or whatever. But I think a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking that they have to go to the gym. Just like you mentioned, you know, you don't have to do an hour in the gym of weightlifting or powerlifting or whatever that is, but movement definitely is a necessity. Like our joints have so much, you know, range of motion, and, you know, our tendons are built for elasticity. And if you don't use it, you really lose it. And then going off what you said, you know, long term, that also becomes an issue, because I like to remind people that, all right, you know, it's nice. You know, if you don't want a six pack, that's totally fine. Like you don't have to have a certain physique. But later on, if you don't exercise now, if you don't move, if you fall, you know, what is that? You know, your bone density decreases, your muscle, lean muscle mass decreases. Will you be able to push yourself off the floor? You know, will you break your leg if you fall? Mm-hmm. Things like that. So, you know, I think that's an awesome message that you're preaching, you know, just movement every day, even if it's 5 minutes, you know, every hour or so, you know, just getting into that habit. And going off of that, you know, I saw a post you had recently about, I don't want to butcher it, but it was something to the effect of, you know, health is an investment. And you talked about how you have like three different gym memberships. Yeah. And to some people that seems, you know, a little excessive. To me, it's like, you know, I've had, you know, three, I would literally in the past, I would, you know, get a job at a different gym, personal training, just so I could use that gym. Well, right. You know,
yeah, that one piece of equipment that you want.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's one gym had like an outdoor area I could push a sled. This other one had rings, et cetera. But can you touch on that, on health being an investment?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I made a post yesterday and basically like I have a home gym. I bought it years ago because I wanted to train clients and film videos for my workout programs. And then, you know, recently I started getting just really low level gym memberships, not like super fancy health spa, you know, like $25 a month or just so I can get out of the house, because I work at home and just be in the presence of other people. I'm literally like the chick with the headphones, like don't look at me, because I have such a time constraint, but just like right. Being around other people, I'm like, okay, there's people. And then on a whim over the weekend, because I really wanted to get it into yoga, but I'm like, you know, $150 a month to go to this like big empty room packed with people.
Right.
like that, you know, like to me, like if that's your jam, that's a great investment. But for me, that's like yoga isn't my primary thing. So I couldn't justify the expense. So there's a new, like one of those big fancy health spas with like eight different pools and like 100 different things to do in it opening up, and they had a sale. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I can take yoga. I can take spin, Pilates. I can use the gym. I can use the pool. Like that's a good investment to me, because I'm not, it's more than $25 a month, but I have a lot of access to other things. And then I can be around many, many people that I'm going to ignore and not talk to. but yeah, so for me, like I'm probably spending like $150 a month on gym access. But I look at that as like people will spend that on a dinner out, you know, and then it's like you really have to think about what you're investing your time, energy, and money into. And so many people look at gym memberships or, you know, classes or personal trainers or any, you know, buying online programs as like an expense, right? And I look at it as an investment because you're investing in your health long term. And it's like, you know, for people that love shopping, they won't blink twice to spend $200 on a pair of shoes. Right. Or, you know, people that love eating out won't think twice about spending $200 on a dinner or a nice bottle of wine or whatever, which is great. I mean, those are things we enjoy, but those are luxuries. We're talking about investing in your health, which is essential. And I really want to change the conversation we have about that. And it doesn't mean that everyone needs to spend $150 a month on gym memberships. It's just a choice that I make. I look at my expenditures and what I can fit in my budget, and that's what I want to spend my extra money on. There's so many things that we can do for free, you know, like body weight exercises, workouts at home, going to the park, joining a running club. You don't have to spend all your money at Whole Foods. There's a lot of great ways to eat really well and not spend a lot of money, but everyone sort of looks at it as like, you know, like an expense where I have to spend all this money to be healthy, and you really don't. I just think I want everyone to stop talking about fitness and food in a way like it's, you know, it's not for everyone, or it's just this right. extra thing that we have in our life. It should be part of who we are.
Yeah, definitely. That's so interesting. Like, I spend probably most of my money on food. Like,
oh yeah,
food. You know, supplementation. And you know, I don't go too crazy with supplements, but you know, omega-3 fish oil. Every now and then, I'll get some turmeric or something like that. You know, vitamin D. But yeah. You know, to me, it's like I won't think twice about it because that's what my body needs, right? Like, I value movement. I value health. Like, I want to be, you know, moving well and strong and healthy for a long, long time. But I'm the trainer that, I hate sales, right? Like, it's taken a while. Like, I'm a little more comfortable with them now. But, you know, whenever I get a new, you know, consultation or something like that, I'm not the pushy guy. But at the same time, I see a lot of hesitation, a lot of skepticism, like, you know, that seems a little expensive. I need to talk to my partner, or I don't know if I can afford that right now. But really, I mean, again, I don't want to step out of my bounds, but if you really looked at their expenses, you know, you see a $3 coffee every day. You see, I went on a, you know, big dinner. I bought this bag, or I bought these shoes. And it's just really interesting having that mindset of, wow, this expense is really big. I don't think I can afford it. But all these other things that we have are kind of, that should be luxuries, are more like our everyday.
Yeah.
That we just buy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in that post, I also talked about how expensive it is to not take care of yourself.
Right.
So making this small incremental investment every month. And again, like, it doesn't have to be like a personal trainer package or, you know, meal delivery service or whatever. Those are personal choices. That making the investment into your health now, the long-term expense is astronomical. You have more medical bills. You might have time off from work because you get sick or injured. You know, just the expense, the healthcare expense, and just the lifestyle expense of being, of not taking care of your body is huge. You might have long-term conditions that you have to take medication for, that you have to see specialists for. You're more at risk of, you know, chronic disease like cancer, diabetes, heart conditions. And so how expensive are those things versus, you know, investing in a small gym membership or joining a running club or, you know, whatever sort of sparks your fire. If that means that you will have less medical expenses, less health scares, less time off from work, as you get older, then the payoff is like astronomical. So, you know, a lot of people don't think about longevity. They think about life in like 30, 60, 90 day increments, you know, and they want their life to look completely different in 30 days or 90 days. And life doesn't work that way. It's just this long-term investment that we're making. You know, it's just this, we have to think about the same thing financially. If we decide from a young age that we're going to worry about retirement later, and we don't invest our money, and we you know, buy boats and cars and houses and vacations and all these luxurious things because they're appealing to us at the time, and we worry about retirement later, you know, we're 65 sooner than we think. And so if you start worrying about retirement when you're 55, you know, it's going to look a lot different for you than if you start thinking about it when you're 25. Right. So you can look at your health the same exact way. But the good thing is, like, it's never too late to start. So if anyone is listening to this and they're like, oh, well, I just turned 60 this year, like, it's never too late to start. I have clients that didn't start lifting weights until they were 65, and they're in incredible shape. You know, so it's just a matter of making that decision that today is the day. No matter, you're never too old, too sick, too tired, too broke to invest in that moment right now. And the human body is incredibly resilient. So it's amazing how quickly we make those adaptations, you know, that start to change the biological processes inside the body. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I talk to a lot of clients when they first start out, and they ask me, you know, how long is this going to take? Or when am I going to be stronger, gain this weight, or, you know, put on muscle? And I think that's the wrong question. I don't tell them that. Yeah. But, you know, for me, it's like, well, when you're, you know, 80, when you're like finishing your life, that's how long it should take. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you know, even right now, when a lot of people see me and they say, you know, I want to have your body, or, you know, how long did it take you? And to me, I'm not even where I want to be. You know, I still have mobility that I want to, you know, clear up. I want, you know, I still can, everyone can always improve something. So for me, it's like, it's a lifelong process. When I'm 90, that's when I'll be like, all right, this is the best I can do, probably.
Now I can coast.
Yeah. So, and, you know, looking at people like you, you know, strong coaches, and it took us a long time. Like you mentioned, you know, it took you 10 years to get where you are now. So, you know, it's a lot of that unseen work that we put in that, you know, it's just grinding, keeping our head down and going. Yeah. But I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your kind of training philosophy. First of all, you know, whenever I look at your exercises, I'm like, wow, that's really creative, you know, and these are all, you know, things that I never thought of, or, you know, just awesome strength moves. You know, I think a lot of times in the fitness industry, we get really caught up in like the easy thing to do. And there's like popular tools that people use and things like that. And I think everyone's at different levels, so it's not a bad thing per se. But what kind of influence you, or like, are there coaches that influence you in your training style?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am so grateful to have started in the industry back when we were like all bloggers, you know, and like you had your blog role and everyone left comments on blogs. So I really had wonderful mentors from the beginning. Obviously, you know, Brett was a huge influence. And then through him, I met like Tony Gentilcore, Dean Somerset, Nick Tumanello. There's so many, I'm like missing the mark. And then I have really great friends like Megan Calloway and Sarah Duvall, who are very influential. There's just so many, but the community was very inviting. So, I always felt warm and welcome, and I've always adhered more towards like strength and conditioning coaches and also physiotherapists, because I feel they work in conjunction, right? The things that we can learn from physiotherapists help prime the body for a workout. You know, they focus a lot on balance and stability and mobility and just fine tuning like some of those smaller muscles that we've we don't always think about. We're always thinking about the quads and the hamstrings and the glutes and the lats and the pecs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, there's all these little smaller muscles that make sure those muscles are functioning well, especially when you get like tight around the joints and you start focusing in. So yeah, I just, you know, I'm a voracious learner and reader, and I've just always kept my world open as far as like who I follow and who I look up to, because we can all learn from each other and sort of piece together what works best for us and our clientele. And then, you know, just never stop learning. Some people, they think that they've learned enough and like, oh, I'm just going to be stuck in my ways forever. But sports science, nutrition science, you know, brain science, all these things are so, so new. And we're just barely grazing the surface of what we know about the human body. So, you know, it's just, you always have to keep your eyes and ears open and be on the lookout for new research, new innovative ways to get people moving better. Yeah, so that's always been my philosophy. I'm just a nerd. So it's like, if I can learn something new every day, I'm all about it.
No, I'm the same way. That's super cool. And I think that's what's going to help push not only the fitness industry forward, but just health in general. And I think there's, like you mentioned, you know, that I initially, you know, started working in physical therapy clinics, and my draw to them was, well, if you know how to move correctly, if you have the proper mobility, then you won't get injured. And then if you don't get injured, well, then you can improve your performance. So there's always that kind of overlap. And I think a lot of people kind of get stuck in, I just want to go for physique, or I just care about my health, or I just want to be, you know, injury free. But, you know, I think the human body is connected in all these different aspects, and you can have the best of all worlds if you just, you know, do your research. So I really appreciate that about you, that, you know, you do your research and you're just constantly trying to learn and educate others. That's one of my big mission statements. And going off of that, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I think a lot of it, particularly with, you know, women's health and women's fitness, there's a lot of myths out there. What are some of like the big ones that you like try to debunk right away and motivate women to get into fitness?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest thing that we face as women is, ever since like, you know, we could comprehend language, we've had messages sent to us about our bodies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just looking back, like when I was a kid, Jane Fonda was the big deal. Mm-hmm. And Weight Watchers was the big deal. So I watched my mom do, you know, Jane Fonda workouts. And I mean, she was very influential in the fitness industry, but she was also bulimic. Mm-hmm. And many of the women that went to her studio were bulimic. So, you know, I'm growing up watching this woman who has an eating disorder and who is like teaching other women who have eating disorders. You know, and then I'm watching my mom count food on her old, like the springboard food scales that they used to have. I love playing with that thing, you know, and tracking her points. And so that's always been in my head. Whatever's on the cover of magazines, the women that were on television, you know, they all looked a certain way. In fact, I remember, when Claire Huxtable was pregnant in real life, right, they would only shoot her from like the chest up. So anytime she was filming and, you know, she was pregnant or gained weight or whatever, they still wanted her to look a certain way. And so we never actually saw like what women's bodies look like. So these things have been pushed on women for longer than we actually can recollect. And there's a lot of women that are like, oh no, I had a really good home. You know, my parents were positive influences. They always talked well to me. I wasn't bullied. I don't know why I have, you know, body image issues. I don't know why I have shame. I don't know why I feel I have to look a certain way. It's because we've had these messages set in our heads from various different medium or behaviors or lifestyle factors, and we don't even realize that they've existed. So I'm totally gotten off on a tangent and I don't remember the question.
Great.
Now.
Those are all awesome.
But so for me with women, it's really like digging deep and starting to change that inner dialogue they have about their bodies, because we're all taught that our bodies are supposed to look a certain way. We grew up with Barbie dolls, And I've, in fact, I learned this weird random fact recently, but I didn't realize this until I listened to this podcast, and the original, I can't remember her name, but the woman who designed Barbie, she was in like in Europe somewhere, and she saw this doll in a display. It was called the Lily doll, I believe. So she brought the doll and brought it home to be the prototype for a Barbie. And it was actually like, some like soft porn, like fetish doll men. So that's literally how Barbies were designed. And then as little girls, like that's right. What we idolized. We were supposed to look like this certain way. So I like to change that conversation that women have in their heads about their bodies. You know, I honor where they're at, but I make them dig deep and question why they have these beliefs, and whether or not the beliefs are still serving them. And then how do we want to change that conversation about our body? Because I feel like so many women eat a certain way and exercise a certain way because they're trying to fit into a societal norm or answer to what society is telling them they should be, rather than really stepping inside and becoming the version of themselves that they want to become versus the version of themselves that they think society wants them to become.
Right. Yeah. That's such an important point. You know, I think a lot of the norms that we kind of, that we have in society are just unquestioned. And so we kind of just, you know, go with it. And the sad part is when someone does question it, there's a lot of, struggle to really break through, and a lot of people resist that notion. So I think it's great that, you know, you're bringing these issues to light. You know, I always say, you know, be happy with where you are and with who you are, but never be complacent. And, you know, that's just speaking to striving to be a better version of yourself. And society doesn't always have that in mind, especially when they're trying to market products, right? Whenever anyone's trying to sell anything, it's not necessarily good for you, it's kind of good for their pockets, right? But so that's a great point. I think again, like, I train a lot of, you know, female clients, and I have them all lifting weights, you know, and not to say that lifting weights is the one and only thing or the best thing, but it's just really empowering. And that, I think that's what we need more of, just empowering people and empowering each other.
I love that conversation. And I see it happen time and again with my clients is, you know, like, in general, the weight room is a very male-centric place. And and a certain, like, prototype of male, right? I have male friends who feel uncomfortable in a weight room because they don't understand the equipment. You know, they don't have the look, you know, maybe they don't have the self-confidence. But it's always fascinating to me. Like, I feel like the gym is the most dangerous place in the world because you literally sign a waiver and give them your credit card information. And then they're like, have at it. And there's like 300 different things that could potentially injure our bodies very severely. And we're just kind of told, like, okay, now go figure it out, you know? But especially for women, it's always been really intimidating. I think that conversation is changing a lot, and I love how much support CrossFit and powerlifting and Olympic weightlifting gives to women. And it shines a light on the fact that, like, this is our space too. But just getting women to start lifting, obviously it has tremendous benefits for the body, but it just changes who we are on such a fundamental level, because stepping into a space where we aren't normally invited and doing a specific type of movement that we aren't normally thought to do, like, makes us realize we're so much more capable in other areas of life. So I have women that, you know, they've gotten really strong in the gym, and then, like, they're suddenly moving up in the workspace and getting promotion after promotion, or, you know, they find the love of their life, or, you know, they're commanding boardrooms and making eye contact, and just, like, the small things that they see in themselves, you know, in the outside world, they realize if I challenge myself in the gym, that means that I can challenge myself in so many different areas of life.
Yeah, I think, you know, exercise, fitness, they have implications in all aspects of life. And I think it's just really important to know that, you know, it's not, you know, it's all for you. It's what do you want out of your life, and not necessarily what, you know, your brother wants or your mom wants or what society wants. You have to really dig deep and find your why. And fitness is just a great avenue to really explore that. So that's really awesome. Yeah. And again, I really appreciate, you know, your expertise and your authority in the field. I think we need more people like you. But I have one more question for you. And okay. That's if you were to go back to the beginning, what's one piece of advice that you would give yourself?
Go back to my first. I mean, the biggest piece of advice I would give myself is, you know, just allow yourself more grace. Allow yourself to look at this as a point of joy in your life, a point of moment in time where you can get a little selfish and make it more playful. Don't take it so seriously. Don't make it a to-do list or a bunch of boxes that you have to check, because human movement is such a gift, and you know, we take it for granted. And I just feel like for many, many years, that's what I was doing. And if I could change that dialogue in my head back then, I think my journey would have looked a lot different. But I appreciate my journey. But I just, you know, I feel like there, I spent so much time trying to get everything dialed in and figured out and look a certain way. And it I feel like it held me back from so much.
Absolutely. You know, I find myself kind of falling into that at times, you know, having started my own business and the podcast and, you know, thinking, oh, I have to schedule this and I have to ask these questions and make it perfect. But, you know, sometimes you just have to sit back and, you know, in the end, you know, none of this is going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is your own health. So trying to do whatever you can to really optimize that and your happiness as well, you know, because we get tied up in our body image and linking that to happiness. But again, if, you know, exercise can be a stress, if we're just pounding ourselves in the gym, if we're, you know, strict with our diet, you know, 365 days a year, you know, that's not a life worth living necessarily. So it's just important to get back to the small things and just kind of remind yourself that, hey, it's okay. And if you mess up, it's okay. So amazing message. Thank you so much again for coming
on.
And
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. Excuse me. Hopefully I get to see you speak again. I know we're sort of close by, but I'm looking forward to see what else you put out these days. And for those of you listening in, where can they find you?
So my website is fitthriveworkouts.com. And then I'm mostly on Instagram, so you can follow me at Kelly Davis Fit. I always have exercise tips and sort of lifestyle and habit tips that I dish out on there. So that's where I'm most prolific, is Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Again, I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Jules. Yeah, right. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, and there you have it from Kelly Davis, telling it like it is, letting us know that your health journey is a lifelong journey. There's no right way to do it, and don't be afraid to make mistakes, but the most important thing is to invest in yourself. There's going to be highs and lows, and no one has it perfect, but the one important thing is to keep striving, keep moving forward. There's always resources out there, so don't be afraid to do a little bit of homework, but again, investing in yourself is going to be key. As we age, we get weaker, we lose muscle, we lose bone density. So again, it's not only about looking good, it's about feeling good right now and also in the future. So if you need help, if you don't know where to start, if you're confused about nutrition or what to do in the gym, reach out to me. I'm always willing to help. And I also do Eclectic Athlete Training, which is an online training customizing nutrition training to your specific needs. Thanks again for tuning in. I really appreciate the support, guys. If you can leave a review, share this, put a screenshot up on your Facebook or Instagram, I would appreciate it even more. Catch you guys next week with another great episode.